How many of you have great plans and high hopes for this new year? Well, that's good. And even better news, God has a great plan for your life this year. And we're going to line up and agree with God's best for all of us this year. Now, last year, all year long, I ministered on one verse of Scripture, and we went on some rabbit trails along the way. But I told you, and this is the last time I'm going to say this maybe for a while, but 40 years of God's people wandering in the wilderness, the children of Israel. In the wilderness, wandering, God met every need. He was good to them. He fed them every day. He kept them safe. He defeated their enemies. Over and over again, he proved how good he was. And then he got his children together right before they stepped over the border into the promised land. And he said to them, already right here, right now, you're blessed. But, Deuteronomy 1:11, that was our verse all year. He said, may the Lord God of your fathers bless you 1,000 times more, just as he promised. So last year, all year long, we hammered the truth that God is so capable of blessing his children, so able to bless us with 1,000 times more peace and joy and favor and influence and direction and traction and provision and health and quality relationships in our marriages, with our children, with our co-workers, 1,000 times more blessed in business and in finance. God has all of that at his disposal. And we talked about the 1,000 times more blessing all year long. Well, today we shift gears. Moses, at the end of that 40 years, died and was buried short of the promised land. He got close enough to where he could see it, but he could not enter it. The children of God could go on after him, but Moses was buried by God short of the promised land. And a new day dawned. A new season began. It was a fresh start for God's people. Joshua emerged as a new leader. Joshua had been Moses' servant. And the Bible says that Joshua had all the wisdom that Moses had, because before Moses died, Moses laid his hands on Joshua. And in Joshua chapter 1, beginning at verse 2, God spoke to Joshua, the new leader of God's people at a brand new era, and said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. A few phrases here. Arise. God said, I am giving. Then the Lord quickly said, I have given. And so the revelation at the new year, after we have waited for God's best to be poured into our life, is simply this. The time has come now for God to deliver on his promises. Have you been waiting for a while for the promise of God to come to you? Well, our ancestors waited 40 years for God to keep his promise, to deliver them from the wilderness and to give them the promised land. It represented 1,000 times greater blessing than they had ever known. But it was a different life. When God said to Joseph, Moses, my servant, is dead, he was saying the structure that you've been used to, the comfort that you've enjoyed up to this point, all of that has been removed. The old is gone now. But something better has arrived. And I'm grateful that 2017 is over and we have a fresh start, a new beginning, and a brand new era that we're stepping into. This is the first Lord's Day of a new season for God's people here at Abundant Life. And the time has come for God to deliver on his promises. In fact, in this scripture here, God speaks of his children possessing the promise in past tense. He said, I am giving, which is progressive tense, and then he said, I have given. It's a done deal. The promise of God for your life, it's a done deal. All we have to do is step our foot down. Just take a step, and with each step we take, the promise of God comes to pass. He has given his promise to us now. Now, today I want to talk about coming of age in the promised land. It's one thing to talk for a year about the thousand times more blessing God is capable of giving his children. But now Moses is dead. It's a new day, and God is speaking a fresh word. He's ready to deliver on his promise. And there's a requirement placed on each of us, and that is we must come of age now. Coming of age is a phrase that Wikipedia says this about a young person's, I like it so far, a young person's transition from being a child to becoming an adult. Coming of age is an age of spiritual responsibility. No longer are we considered minors, but now we have been granted full rights and responsibilities of an adult. And the trademark of this new season as we come of age is greater strength and stability. In fact, new muscles. When a young person comes of age and transitions into adulthood, they have new muscles, new strength. They're more consistent. They're more stable. They are more mature, and they're more responsible than they were when they were wandering through their wilderness journey. So today we're talking about coming of age, being in position and fully capable of receiving the promise of God. Coming of age in the promised land. In the New Testament, we're warned like this. Paul said, by now, talking to people like us, by now you should be teachers. And yet, you're still carnal and not spiritual. While you should be teachers by now, teaching others by example, you have need that somebody come back and teach you all over again the fundamentals. Let's go back to the finger painting class in the third grade. But no, we're well advanced and we're beyond that. And so it's time to come of age and receive the promise of God. Now, I like this one word, and you're going to love the Hebrew definition of it. I did my homework on this one word. God said to Joshua, therefore arise, you and all these people, and go to the land I have given you. That word arise in the Hebrew is a word pronounced kum. Easy to pronounce that word, spelled differently, but pronounced kum. And the word arise in the Hebrew language means to accomplish, to perform and succeed. So God is speaking to Joshua and giving Joshua a mandate, but it didn't stop with Joshua. He said, you and all these people, the children of Israel, it's time for you to arise. It's time for you to accomplish. It's time for you to perform. It's time for you to succeed. That's what coming of age in the promised land is all about. Now, before the new thing can begin, closure has to come to the old thing. It's impossible at this time of year when we're saying goodbye to one year and a hello to a brand new year. It's impossible not to think about what Paul said in the Philippians book when he said, I'm forgetting about those things that used to be. And I'm doing only one thing now. I'm pressing forward toward that which is ahead, to all that lies ahead, he said. Now, there's an order there. You first of all have to forget those things which are behind before you can even focus and begin to attempt to reach forward to that which is ahead. Coming of age in the promised land will mean closure. Moses is dead. We're saying goodbye to the thing that used to be. The lifestyle we used to have, the structure we depended on, it is gone. And so we forget that and we reach forward. Closure has to come to the old. Now, we cannot take some things with us. Some things we've been holding on to. We don't need to take it with us into the new year. I won't even begin the laundry list. Probably some things in your own life and in my own life. I don't need to drag across the calendar year. In this new season, I need to hear the word that the old is gone. It's time to forget that and to focus only on forward and reaching in that direction for all that lies ahead in front of us. Some things you don't need to have in your suitcase going into the new year. I remember our family of four, my wife and I and our two daughters, ages 11 and 4, we moved to the other side of the world for a year. And it was simpler than you would think, because when you move, you know, from one house to another house here in Florence, it takes forever to get it all there. Back and forth, back and forth. You never really know when you're finished. But when you're moving for a year to the other side of the world, and it's four of you, and you got eight suitcases, it simplifies everything. We said it like this: if it don't go now, it ain't going. So we loaded eight suitcases, and that was clothes for four of us for a year. That was books for school, for the kids, and for us. That was vitamins and supplements, everything we would need for a year. If it don't go now, it ain't going. So it was simple to make a move when we realized we're going to let go of so much. We're not going to take excess baggage with us into this new year. The children of Israel realized at the death of Moses and the emerging of Joshua as their new leader and stepping over out of the wilderness now over into the promised land filled with the blessings of God, that the rhythm of their lifestyle had to change. Think about it. For 40 years, they never had to work for their food. God supernaturally delivered manna to the ground every morning, enough for all day long. And now that was over. Now they were going into the promised land, and it was filled with the blessing of God, but they had to come of age. They had to take responsibility. They had to realize God's not going to rain food down for us to enjoy anymore. Now we're going to have to get into a new rhythm. We're going to have to plant seed and water it. And then we're going to have to be patient and let it grow. And then we're going to have to go back out in the fields and harvest it and prepare it and serve it to our family. A new rhythm to this new year. God is calling for that in our lives as we come of age in the promised land God has given us. Now, for 40 years under Moses, God's people were waiting and wandering. Waiting and wandering. Under Moses, that was the old order. For 40 years, they would wake up, rise, and whine. But now under Joshua, they had to quickly learn, you wake up every day and you rise and you shine. It is time to accomplish, perform, and succeed. Now, they would whine for 40 years old, the most negative things. While God was taking such good care of them, meeting every need, feeding them freely, defeating their enemies, giving them water when they were thirsty, keeping them comfortable in the heat of the desert, by a cloud, and keeping them warm on cold nights with a pillar of fire. I mean, all of it was supernatural, and yet they whined. I think there was a reason they were called the children. They were not grateful. They were not positive. They were not optimistic. And they blamed God for every little thing that they didn't like. They opened their mouth and said some negative things. things. Like, I don't know why God has us here. I wish he'd have killed us back in Egypt when we were slaves. And they would say, why are we out here? Why are we going to die out here? Did they run out of graveyard plots in Egypt where we came from? And then they said, I'm so sick and tired of this manna every day. It's not hitting my spot. That's what Brenda and that was our language. Especially at night when there's just a little something missing. Yeah, it's mine. She never says it, it's me. When there's just a little something, I'm still yearning for a little something to eat, and I'll get it, and usually she'll bring it to me, and then when I say, oh, that hit the spot right there. But the children of Israel whined for 40 years and said, I'd rather have that fish that we used to eat at the end of a 12-hour hard day of slave labor. At least they'd give us fish. I miss it. I'd rather go back to bondage, go back serving the devil and having fish than to be here in the will of God, wandering through the wilderness with his great covering and him promising me a blessing that's 1,000 times. Oh, look, there it is. I can see it now. That's how close we are. It's a new day. Whining, rising and whining. That's the old thing. Rising and shining. That's what we're starting today. There was a story of an older man who was in bed dying. Family and friends gathered around, and he was still alert and could talk, even though he and everybody knew it was just a matter of hours. And somebody in the room asked him, are you afraid to die? And he said, no, I'm not afraid. I'm ashamed to die, having not accomplished any more. It reminds me, this is a true story. You may have seen it on the news just a few weeks ago, but David Cassidy, who was a former heartthrob pop star, probably one of the world's greatest, certainly in his time he was, with the Partridge Family, and what were some of the songs he sang? Come On Get Happy, and some of those other songs. I don't know, because I'm so spiritual I don't ever listen to. What were some of those other songs? I know he had more. I Think I Love You. That's it right there. He died just a few weeks ago at age 67, horribly young to die. And his daughter told reporters after he passed away that his four last words, the four last words he said before he died is, so much wasted time. And then he died. So much wasted time. Hey, coming of age in the promised land. It's time to accomplish some things God has on his agenda for our life. It's time to perform and succeed. Corporately, we as a local body arise today. And we are prepared now to walk in the blessings of God. Now, waiting on God's time is never a waste. Immediate results are not always the most important to God, because what God is doing in us while we wait is more important than what we're waiting for. So the wandering years, not a waste. God was in it all. He has led us to this place. We are now stepping across the border. The wilderness is behind us. We're forgetting about that. And now we're reaching forward to the fullness of God's blessing that lies ahead for each of us. It requires a new mentality. Under Moses, they never owned a thing. They had a renter's mentality. Under Joshua, they had to take on an owner's mindset. One thing to rent, it's another thing to own. I think I've told you this before, but Brenda and I thought we'd be great landlords one time. And so we bought a house only because it had a tenant living in it. Listen to this now. It was an older house. It was an inexpensive house. We wouldn't have even been interested, except there was a tenant already in it that had been in that house as a tenant, renting it for more than 30 years. And he always paid his rent on time. And so I thought, well, this is a no-brainer. We can, if it wasn't for that tenant, we wouldn't be interested. But hey. So we bought the house. About 3 years later, the tenant decided to move. After living in the house all those years, so I said to him, his name was James, I said, James, only reason we bought this house is because you're living in it. You've been here all your life. You want to move? Yeah, I'm finally ready to move. I said, well, do you like the house? Yes, sir. I said, would you like to buy the house? Oh, no. And so I thought maybe it was because of his credit or whatever, which he'd always paid his rent. And so I even said to him, James, this is your house for decades. If you want to stay here, I'd love for you to buy it. We'll sell it to you. And if credit is an issue, I'll do something unbiblical. I'll go to the bank and tell them how good you are with paying rent. I'll help you out to buy it. And he said, no, sir, I can rent the house, but I couldn't own it. Same amount of money or less. But that was his mindset. I can rent it. Done it for 33 years, but I could never own the house. Now, there is a time to rent, and then there's a time to own. In the wilderness, the children of Israel were renters only. They pitched a tent and picked it up frequently, and took it to another place. For 40 years that happened. But now, stepping into the promised land, they moved into the house that was in their name. And James said to me, I can pay rent, but I can't own the house. It's easier to defend your present position than to invade new territory. We've got to change our mindset on some things. Easier to defend your present position, even if it's a wilderness mentality, than to stretch and reach forward. Forget those things that are behind. Realize it's a new day, a new season. God has so much more still yet ahead, and stretch that way. Most people just defend where they are, make excuses, and fail to invade new territory. If you overstay your welcome in the wilderness, you become a professional victim. They whined and complained. What? I don't know if I can. If you overstay your welcome in the wilderness, you become a professional victim. Have you seen any? Faith takes a risk. Charles Lindbergh, the first man to fly across the ocean, said, life without risk is not worth living. And we, as people of faith, should know what it is to take a risk. Faith lays it on the line and believes in God to see us through. Now, there's the power of expectation we need to be aware of. And it works equally for fear and faith. Both can be strongholds. Both can be driving forces in our life. Faith and fear. But the expectation of either one is a powerful possibility. Faith expects one outcome, fear expects another outcome altogether. Fear expects worst case scenario. Faith expects a much better outcome, best case scenario. The pessimist will believe things are going to stay bad or even get worse. The optimist believes that with God's help, things have to get better. You can ask, how was 2017? How was that year? You'll get all kind of different answers depending on who you ask. Same is true for 2018. If we were to ask each one of you right now, what are you expecting in 2018? What kind of year do you think it's going to be? You'll get all kind of answers depending on who you ask and whether their expectation is based on fear or whether their expectation is based on faith. Don't be afraid this year to conquer giants. Now, the wonderful thing in the wilderness, God took care of us. We were already so blessed. Never lacked anything, really. Well fed, well drunk on water. Well protected and defended from our enemies. God did all that. And now we're coming of age. We have to do some things for ourselves. God expects us to arise, grow up, be strong. There are giants to conquer in this new land. A lot of blessing, 1,000 times more. Houses we didn't build, wells we didn't dig, grapes the size of cantaloupes or whatever. But we got to kill some giants now. And we're well able to do it. We have come of age in the promised land. So defeat your enemy early in the year. Do it early. Don't drag around till June or July to address the enemy. Let's learn from the model David, the little shepherd boy, who when he saw the giant, everybody was afraid of. He was so confident in his God that the Bible says he ran toward the giant. Everybody else in the army was afraid and cowering back and hiding and would not answer his call to come on out and fight me toe-to-toe, eye-to-eye, man-to-man. Nobody in God's army was willing to do that except this little boy. Talk about the universal underdog. Little David against that huge giant Goliath, but he didn't tiptoe. He ran toward that giant. And you know the rest of that story. So defeat your fear early in the year. Those driven by fear looked in the promised land, saw the giants, and said, those giants will eat us for lunch. Those driven by faith looked at the giants and said, we are well able. Let's go in at once. So we run toward the giant early in the year. Defeat your fear early in the year. And we're learning about spiritual warfare at a more intense level, at a faster pace now. Hey, we're coming of age. And it's spiritual warfare. It's the conflict that is necessary to conquer your enemies and obtain that which has been promised to you, that spiritual warfare. If you don't know much about it, you will find a learning curve helpful. Learn quickly, because there are giants this year to tackle. Next Sunday, I'm going to talk about the peace thief. Have you had any opportunities lately for your peace to be stolen? For an enemy to come in, a thief, a robber, to snatch God's peace from your life? Have you been tempted lately to let go of your peace? Well, peace is worth fighting for. And we can control a lot more than we do because of spiritual authority and spiritual warfare. I tell you, I set a guard at my house. It's like a thermostat. We agree that peace rules. Now, I set the thermostat at my house. You set the thermostat at your house. You put a guard around your home to make sure that the thief can't break in. It takes spiritual warfare. It's a necessary conflict. This year, I will conquer my giant. I mean it. Didn't you enjoy that video? I mean it. For some of you, you're going to swear off chocolate. Or worse things. Whatever. This is the year to mean it. Face your giant. Going into this new year, now it's still early. We're still finding our way into the blessing of the Lord and all that he has for us in this new year. But we recall the words of David in Psalms where he said, This is the year God will take pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. God will take pleasure in prospering his servants. Now, prosperity is a trigger word in our culture today. Among some religious circles, some people are blasted because they believe God wants to prosper his people. I mean, really, that's shocking, isn't it? And I will say, prosperity as a message and as a doctrine has been abused and misused by a few. That sort of makes everybody suspicious of the whole lot. But, you know, let's just stick with the Word of God. And God takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. This is the year I believe we will see that. We've got to fight for it. We've got to do war for it. But I believe it's coming to pass. Here's prosperity. It's simply this. Prosperity is having enough of God's provision to complete his instructions for your life. That's all it is. Somebody prophesied over me, and I've given it to you. Many years ago, said that I would always have in my hands more than enough to obey God and to do everything he calls me to do. And God's been faithful to that. He's been faithful to you in that way. You will always have more than enough in your hand to accomplish everything God would ask you to do. He's that good of a God to us. And then, beloved, I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So the emphasis is on the soul. Not just the spirit, but the soul. The soul is that part of our makeup that is our mind, our intellect, our will, and our emotions. Now, I have seen some people who need to prosper in their emotional life. All of us, in fact, need that. But this is the year to focus on our mind being renewed to the Word of God and our will being submitted to the will of God. And then managing our emotions won't be near as much of a problem. Well, I'm going to close by telling a couple of real true stories by Lester Sumrall. Lester Sumrall's been in heaven probably for 20 years now. He lived a long and a fruitful life in ministry. He traveled over 120 nations, and many of them were godless nations where all kind of evil powers claimed to rule the territories, and he had no fear of anything that the devil would send his way. And you may have heard him tell these stories. He wrote, I think, 100 books, well-respected, but he was in his home one night asleep, and he heard the familiar sound of the rocking chair in the next room rocking back and forth. It had a unique sound to it. He knew that was his rocking chair, and he thought he was alone in the house, and he knew somebody was sitting in that chair rocking in the rocking chair. And so he got up out of bed and walked through his door to the next room and saw, and this is his story, saw the devil sitting in the rocking chair making the noise that had awakened him. And Lester Sumrall simply looked at the devil and said, "Oh, it's only you," and turned around and went back to bed. I'm not trying to get spooky on you now. I've never had the devil appear to me. I've seen a few devils or demons and some imps, probably some lower level, you know, representatives, as you have. But there's only one devil, so he can only be at one place at one time. And so Lester was a big target for him. And then on another occasion, he was in a foreign nation, a godless nation where the demonic influence was tangible and strong, one of those nations, and he was sleeping in a home in someone's guest bedroom. And during the middle of the night, while he was sound asleep in this guest bedroom in another nation, his bed started shaking violently, and the headboard was moved from the back of the wall out into the middle of the bedroom floor. And he was awakened and wondered what in the world. He didn't know if it was an earthquake or whatever. And when he sat up in bed, he realized it was a demonic force. He sat up in bed and he said, "Devil, stop shaking this bed." And the bed stopped right there in the middle of the room. Now, I would have been happy right there, but not Lester. He said, "Devil, now you put this bed back up against the wall where you found it." Now, I don't mean to weird out anybody. It didn't happen to me. I'm just telling you what Lester said. But he was a godly man and made a great impact on the world. He recognized his time to come of age. And he heard the Lord say, "Arise, Lester, it's time for you to perform and succeed." And that's the word of the Lord that comes to each of us today, early in this new year. Hey, grow up. No longer children tossed to and fro. There's a new strength to you. It's a whole new season, a new era, a brand new year, a fresh start. And this is the time you grow up, come of age, and take possession of the promises of God. Would you stand with me, please? Everybody standing. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 11. Paul said, "For if what is passing away was glorious, what remains is much more glorious." We are in transition. There are some things that are old now. They're passing away. And it wasn't all that bad. In fact, it was real good much of the time. But if what is passing away was glorious, what yet remains is much more glorious. So we have something to look forward to. Brenda shared this with me yesterday. She loves devotional books. She reads several every day. Yesterday's Jesus Calling. Any of you men or women read Jesus Calling? Good. It's so good. Such a blessing every day. And Brenda's devotion yesterday, God said, "I am able to do far beyond all that you ask or imagine. Come to me with positive expectations, knowing that there is no limit on what I can accomplish. Ask my spirit to control your mind so you can think great thoughts. Do not be discouraged by the fact that many of your prayers are yet unanswered. Time is a trainer teaching you to wait upon me, to trust me in the dark. The more extreme your circumstances, the more likely you are to see my power and glory at work in the situation. Instead of letting difficulties draw you into worrying, view them as setting the scene for my glorious intervention. Keep your eyes and your mind wide open to all that I am doing in your life." How hopeful. What a blessing. Just the thought of all that God's up to, all that he has planned for you this year, for each of us this year. Bow your heads.